of frustration.
Yep.
And I don't mean give up frustration. It's really kind of a frustration that makes me unable to figure out what to do, how to do it, when to do it. It almost freezes me, and I know it's just something I'm going to work through.
Yeah.
But at the heart of it is I just can't seem to figure out a product. I can't figure out anything that I want to set up my theme around. There's a lot of little ideas that I have that I could incorporate in subdomains.
Yep.
But I don't want to. Those aren't legitimate, in my mind, themes, major foundational themes to work off of.
Yeah, so that you basically, there's something that you could maybe earn some money with for a little bit, but it's not something to build a business on.
Exactly. And so I'm finding myself, I don't know if it's, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not trying to get into a counseling session, but sometimes I just think that I work myself into a point where I'm frozen, and it's almost like I can't function in what I'm trying to accomplish. It's a weird dynamic I'm having. So I'm trying to go back to little steps, you know, to listen to a tape, you know, relevant tape that you have. But I'm still at a point where I am absolutely motivated to start researching and building sites and trying to get my name out there. Even if I just made a very little bit of money, that would be so encouraging to me, but I just don't have anything that I feel comfortable with. Anyway, that's where I'm at.
Okay, well, there's a couple things that I'll sort of mention, and then we'll go back and forth between that. How is that? So it's okay if I just mention some stuff, and then we'll kind of go back and look at your situation? Is that fair?
And, oh, by the way, a little P.S. When I joined,
yeah,
I thought I had a complete mission.
That's okay. Well, here we go. That's part of the game. And you know what? The hardest part, I think, of all of these businesses, whether it's online or offline, is the point that you're at right now. And that's the question of, you have to kind of say, what am I going to hang my hat on? Like, where am I going to put my shingle out? You know, where am I going to start my business? And the thing is that a lot of times people get kind of frustrated. And I ran into this before, as if I take a look back at how I started out, I'm in a completely different business than what I initially had anticipated. But the fact is, I started with something and started working on something. So, you know, and as much as you get frustrated and kind of despondent or down even on yourself because you can't kind of get something happening that you think you think should be happening, the point that I want to make is the fact that you're actually still in the game. Most people would have given up already, but I commend you for still sticking at it. And I'm just trying to let you know that there is some light at the end of the tunnel, you know, and there can be some pot of gold. I can't tell you how big it is, but at the end of the rainbow, there's something there for you. Okay, so don't give up. You know, just be persistent and be flexible when you're being persistent. And what I mean by that is that you have to be open and see, well, what's working, what's not. What interests me, what doesn't interest me, you know, and kind of move around and sort of shuffle around in the early days to find out something that, hey, you know, this is something that I want to pursue a little bit further to see what's there. And usually what happens is I say, you know, take a look at your personal interests, take a look at the stuff that you're doing now or that you've done in the past, maybe at a job or a career before, and you're saying, well, how can I leverage some of the stuff that I already know and turn it into a business? So that's kind of the first place to start, but it's not the only place to start. So here's the thing, I'm just going to ask you, you've got your blog set up. Have you made any posts on your blog?
Well, there's a perfect example. I had a whole post ready and written that I felt good about. And then as I got more involved in discovering your niche and really, you know, studying and learning more.
Blog. So you could blog at tomquillen.com. You could blog about about crocheting and the election.
Right.
It doesn't have to be around a hub and a spoke and a theme and all of that stuff. The reason that I want you to start blogging is not necessarily to start earning money today, although that would be nice. The thing that's important about getting started blogging is the fact that you can make two or three quick posts a day about something and learn how to post it and see what gets someone to add a comment and see what doesn't get people to add a comment. Because remember, all of those things that you put in there, you know, it's a place to get started, but it doesn't have to be there for the rest of your life. If you do a post, and let's say you spend 2 weeks, and I'm just using an example, but let's say you spent 2 weeks making three posts a day about stuff that you thought might interest you, and you take a look at that. Three posts a day, 7 days a week is 21 posts, right? After 2 weeks, you've got 40, almost 50 posts. I bet you, if you went back and took a look at those 50 posts, you would see a thread running through the posts. And it might be that half of the posts might be about a widget or something that happens to you or in a particular market or something that you could go, well, wait a second, why am I always posting about this particular thing?
Right.
And then you go and you say, okay, well, what is that thing? And am I interested in it? What do I know about it? And then you can do some research about it. And it kind of reveals a little bit about yourself as you're getting started. And it doesn't mean you have to start your blog and go, oh, darn, I have to start adding articles and posts and I got to start earning affiliate income tomorrow. See, and even if you do start making a post or two, it's easy enough if you're making posts, like I suggested, on or about other people's sites. It's easy. If they have an affiliate program, just join the affiliate program and use your affiliate link when you refer to their particular site. The other thing is if you go and you do you have a ClickBank account?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you know, for example, that you're taking a look at some blogs from someone who happens to be in a particular market. Let's say you just happen to be looking at some blogs from someone who's into wines. Okay? And go to ClickBank and go and look and see wine, you know, how to do wine tasting. How to pick wines, you know, how to make your own wines. And go and get the hop links, your ClickBank hop links.
Yes.
Just make sure they're handy for maybe three or four products that you happen to have from ClickBank.
And I put those on my blog?
Yeah, sure. So, you know what? You go to someone else's blog who's a wine connoisseur, as an example, right? And you say, you know what? I ran into this blog today by Joe Schmo who claims he's a wine expert. He said, and then you cut and paste something that he said on his blog. And he said that make, you know, and then you can paste it in so it looks, you know, you're getting added text in your blog. It's all keywords about wines because he should be writing about wines, for example, right?
Right.
So you put that in and then you, after you put, you know, you paste in what he wrote, you just said, you know what, I think he's absolutely right. And here's a great resource that explains why. And then you put the hop link to the book that you found on ClickBank that is about wine in some respect.
Gotcha.
Do you understand what I mean? So it's not your product at this point, but if you know, for example, that you're looking on some blogs and you see stuff on wine, don't be afraid to go to ClickBank or pay.com or, you know, Commission Junction if it happens to be a physical product or, you know, Share a Sale. There's a whole bunch of different ones that you can go to, but just kind of have a little cheat sheet of different areas and or products that you might be interested in promoting. And then you can go and find a post or two on anyone who's a wine connoisseur, right?
Right.
And then do a soft sell to start off with. So you don't have to do a sales letter. You don't have to do a big pitch or anything on buy this book on wine tasting. You could go to four or five different blogs and make four or five posts on your site to five, you know, to those four or five different blogs, and on each one just use a link saying here's another great reference for anyone interested in making their own wine. Or here's another great thing for the proper way to test wines. Or here's a proper way, you know, here's the difference between Australian and Chilean wines. And then you just use your HopLink and put it in as a soft sell. And that's to get you started.
That's excellent.
Okay.
I'm going to do exactly that in a number of different areas.
Yeah, and just, and you know what? Pick some that interest you mildly, or even if, you know, and you don't have to put a HopLink in all the time. So if it happens to be wine tasting or scuba diving or crocheting, doesn't really matter. If you find something that's of interest to you, just start making a post about it. And, you know, if you're in a business market, the easiest way to do this is to say, you know, here's an example of someone who did something really interesting in marketing. So instead of trying to sell, you know, a product or service, you can actually use everyone else's blog or website as a bit of a case study and explain why you think what they're doing is working or not working. And if you do that, it's easy enough just to put in a link to either a place where you are capturing someone's email address or a HopLink that is referring someone to another site where you're going to get a commission.
Okay.
So the other thing is, just I added something there. Remember, one of the things that you've got to do a little bit later down the line is you've got to start capturing and collecting email addresses, right? So always keep that in the back of your mind. What do I have? What kind of assets do I have that I can give away in exchange for, or that someone is willing to exchange their email address for? And here's an example. You can go to many of the people that they've signed up as affiliate programs, and a lot of times they'll give you a free ebook or a free report that you can give away with your affiliate link already embedded in it, right?
Right.
So what you can do is, on every blog post, if you're not going to do every alternate blog post, for example, you can say, you know, download my free report that explains how, whatever it happens to be, and click here. And then what you're going to do is that link is going to send them to a page, what's typically called a squeeze page or an email capture form that says, you know, download your PDF immediately, enter your email address and first name here, and you set it up so that you're going to give away the report in exchange for the email address. So you can alternate between giving something away on a post or asking someone to visit somewhere where they have the opportunity to buy something from someone else that you get an affiliate commission for.
And where's those email addresses? Where are they collected at? In my own email?
Yeah, what you need to do is you need to set up there's a couple things that you should do. Do you have a shopping cart yet?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you have an autoresponder account yet?
No, I don't.
Okay. Like, for example, we have My Small Biz Mail, which is my autoresponder service, which is $19 a month, but it's similar to what you would get at AWeber. Okay? And it's a mail service that allows you to create autoresponders and email capture forms and completely automate collecting these email addresses and sending out mail on your behalf.
That's over and above the $49?
Yeah, that's a service that we sell as a separate item. Okay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's mysmallbizmail.com, and I can send you some more information on that if you want. So
that'd be great.
Yeah, and so that captures the email addresses, and then you have to start working on having a newsletter or something to send to your existing captured email addresses over time. And if you look back at the map, you see that, you know, that one of the things that's pick the right niche is the first section, and the second section is getting set up. There's a couple things that you have to do, you know, to be in business. And one of them is you do have to have For example, a PayPal account or a merchant account being able to accept money online. You're going to have some kind of autoresponder or a way to capture email addresses and send out emails to the people. You're going to have a newsletter. These are kind of some basic things that every business will have to have as they get going. Okay? So don't forget about them.
Crazy thing is that I enjoy reading and I enjoy writing. I try to fancy myself as a wannabe amateur writer, but I just don't have anything to really get going on. So this really is very helpful. Thank you.
Well, you know what? Seinfeld did a whole series on nothing.
That's true.
So if he can do a whole sitcom on nothing, then I'm sure that all of us can come up with something to earn money with on the internet when there's so many different things to look at. And you have to remember that, and here's kind of the way that I look at it. Everything that I sell is available for free somewhere on the internet. All of the information that I have.
Uh-huh.
It's available for free somewhere. The point is that it would take 2 years of research to collect it all and organize it all.
Exactly.
So people are not paying. People are not paying necessarily for the information. What they're paying for is, in my case, for example, they're paying for access to me, but they're also paying for the amount of information that's organized and codified into a system or process. So whether it's winemaking.
Can you repeat that last sentence one more time?
Okay.
A lot of information that's organized and codified?
Yeah, and put into a process that people can follow. That's what people are paying for. And it doesn't matter.
That was great.
It doesn't matter what market you're in.
Well, right, that's what I just, when you said that, I was like, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. Thanks. So, you know, if it's scuba diving or dog training or how to get rid of the common cold or wine tasting or whatever it is, all of the information that people will try to sell you is free. But it's the organization, codification, and process, you know, making that information into a process is what people pay for when they're buying information products. Okay? So just, you know, a lot of times when people get started, they go, oh, great, I'm really interested in scuba diving. Then they go do the research and they see it's really competitive and they go, oh, everything's there already. Well, everything's there in every market. But you have to take a look and see, well, how can I do this a little bit differently, or what in my background or my expertise allows me to do things a little bit differently with the same information? And it doesn't matter if you're selling information projects or you're like Billy Blank selling the weed, the garden aerator.
Tybo, whatever, right.
Okay, so it can be a physical product. It doesn't have to be an information product. But just understand it's how you kind of organize it or think about it personally, or your business thinks about it or delivers it, that makes it different. And that's the part that a lot of people get hung up on, is they go, well, I don't know how to be different. Well, the thing is, you can't not be different.
That's funny.
Well, it's true. Like, everyone, like, if I go and look, you know, I got a course on list building. I've got a course on Joomla membership sites. I've got a course on joint ventures. There's 40 or 50 other courses that I know of on joint ventures, but no one does it or looks at it the same way I do. So, you know, everyone's got a tongue, but everyone tastes wine differently. Mm. Could be the same wine.
That's funny.
So just, you know, be open to going, you know what, I'm interested in this. I'm going to invest some time, energy, and effort in it. And it's something that I enjoy doing anyway. And the problem that I see, like I saw Jeff Paul's infomercial on CNN this morning, on Spike TV this morning.
Is he still around?
Well, I heard
that was the biggest waste of money I ever spent in my entire life.
Well, exactly.
The making money from your kitchen in your underwear?
Yeah.
That was the most worthless piece of crap ever.
Yeah. Well, the one that I saw on TV today, it was on Spike this morning, like from 8 till 8:30 or 8 till 9 on Spike TV where I get it here in Canada. And it was a Jeff Paul, or I think it was Jeff Paul, but it was his infomercial with all the girls in the skimpy tops, the blonde girls hanging out at the beach at the resort pool. And it was something about the instant internet millionaire blueprint or something like that. And what he's selling is 10 private label rights products and sales pages for really crappy products. And I heard that they lost their shirts when they did that product in the infomercial. And that's why they're actually going to start coming back. You'll see them more online again. Because they were trying to do it offline with the infomercial and everything, and apparently it didn't. I heard that it didn't go that well. But, you know, the people that buy products like that, and I'm not meaning to offend you, Andrew, but...
No, I bought that product like in 2004 or 5, a long, long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. But a lot of people that buy a product like that are not interested in building a business. That's the last thing they want to do.
Right, they just want money.
They just want some money, and they don't want to work for it. It's back to that free, perfect, and now thing, right? Well, it doesn't work that way. And, I talked about this in the niche courses. I kind of keep on harping on this, but it's really, really important. If you, and this is my personal problem with affiliate marketing. Affiliate marketing, in my opinion, is not a business. It is a piece of your business.
Mm-hmm.
It is one income stream of many. But anyone who says, you know, I'm an affiliate marketer, well, technically all they're doing is they're working for someone different each week.
Right.
And each week they have to go and find the course du jour that, you know, that happens to be selling. And that's not necessarily a business because they are not independent of their business. And, you know, if you ever listen to that interview I did with Michael Gerber again, I did an hour interview with Michael Gerber.
Wow, okay.
And just
somewhere in the site?
Yeah, I'll get the link and make it. It's in the interviews. And I'm pretty sure it's a Windows Media Audio file that you can listen to. But, you know, the being independent of your business so that you can step away from it and your business is still going to earn money, for the most part, listen, I qualified that. For the most part, if you are strictly an affiliate marketer, you're not going to be able to do that, even though they tell you that you can. Because affiliate marketing, in general, what happens is that if you have or market something as an affiliate, that you're marketing just by putting it up on a website or letting it sit, you continually have to work it to driving traffic to all of these things.
Right.
And you're either going to have to buy traffic, which costs money, or you're going to have a system or process that allows you to automatically get people to go to all of these sites that you have affiliate links on them over a period of time that you don't have to work at. And that's why the hub and spoke stuff works. If you have the autoresponder set up properly, you should be able to send everyone to every spoke in your system over time in an automated fashion. Whether that be an affiliate link, a private label right product, a master resale right product, your own product, an AdSense, doesn't really matter. It's just one of those streams, but you should be able to send people to it over time. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I was ranting there. Sorry.
No, it was great.
Well, you know, one thing you said, I don't know if I heard it on a tape or I heard you say it live, but it stuck in my mind, and that is that when you first started, you were fortunate enough to start with your own product.
Yeah.
To understand that?
Yeah.
What does that mean? You mean you had already invented something, or you just your knowledge about how to do this was your product, or what's that mean?
Well, there's kind of two stories to that. One is the first thing that it took me a long time to write the 52 Secrets book, and I think the when I came into this, remember, I was doing professional speaking, coaching, and consulting in the offline world. So I had an awful lot of stuff in my head that I was trying to figure out how to get it out of my head and get it into to make it a product. And one of the things that I was really lucky was that it took me probably a year and a half to write the 52 Secrets book. And I just said to myself, there's no way I'm ever going to do that again. So I started looking for other ways to take the stuff that I had in my head and turn it into digital products or digital assets. So that's how I got into that Mimeo thing with the whiteboard. And, you know, when I got going at it, I was doing maybe one or two videos a day. Some of them were 5 minutes long, some were 15 minutes long. But once I had a system that allowed me to create those digital, because every time those things get created, it's a digital asset, right? And I didn't have to write a 1,500-page report. I had to stand in front of a whiteboard for 15 minutes. Like, I remember I was writing for Entrepreneur Magazine, and I had to write an article a month. And there's still articles up on Entrepreneur that I wrote. But I had to write an article a month. But it used to take me about 4 hours to write and rewrite the 1,500-word article.
Right.
And part of the reason was is because it was for Entrepreneur Magazine. You know, if I was going to post it up on eZine Articles or Go Articles or My Small Biz Articles, who gives a crap? You know, you throw it up and it's not a good article. But, you know, 4 hours for 1,500 words, that's like pulling teeth. And I used to struggle, you know, it's always, oh, you got to have your article in by such a date. And I would like sweat the days before trying to come up with some hook or angle that was worthy of going up on Entrepreneur. And I just figured out I got to find a way to create products and or services, either mine or other people's, and get them into something that I have control of that I can call my own products. And the one thing that, the other thing that I did that's really, really important is I tried to make all of my products evergreen products.
Right.
Do you know what evergreen means, Tom?
No.
Okay. Here's an example. If I make let's say I do a podcast or I do an audio interview. And I start the audio interview, and I go, hello, this is James Maduke speaking. You're listening to Small Business Heroes Radios. Today is October 29th, 2002. We're talking to so-and-so, so-and-so. And I do an interview with someone. And then I go and try and sell that interview today. What happens?
Oh, yeah, it's dated.
They go, oh, well, crap. This is old. It probably doesn't have anything of value to it, just because there's a date to it. So one of the things that I tried to be pretty cognizant of is that I didn't want to put dates and or mention stuff that was time sensitive within any of the digital assets that I had. And the other thing that I did is I talked about processes as opposed to specific tactics, because the processes underlying all of these tactics and strategies will work at any time, not just because squeeze pages are the cool thing to do right now or pop-unders are the cool thing to do right now. So you're trying to try and get a little bit deeper level, talk about the process. You can introduce all the different tactics and strategies, but you can just say, you know, some of them will work, some of them won't, depending on the market and where you're at, but try them out. So I was pretty lucky that I was being time aware when I created stuff. And that allows you to create your own library of these digital assets that can be packaged and unpackaged, bundled and unbundled.
But how long had you been in business? How long had you been doing the offline speaking, teaching, writing, coaching market before you started doing this process?
Well, the thing, I was doing sales training, and then I got involved in Goldmine software. I don't know if it's still around, but it used to be called Goldmine. It was a entry-level Salesforce automation software.
Uh-huh.
Because I was doing sales training, everyone was starting to go, well, how do I manage all my contacts and do forecasting in companies? So I was still doing sales training, but I was supplementing it with software that I was selling to the companies for doing the contact management for their sales teams.
Okay.
So that was in that would have been what 90. I started full time speaking 92, 93. And that was all on sales training and face reading, personality types, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then I got into the Goldmine software stuff to supplement the speaking things because I was having kids and all of that and didn't want to be traveling as much.
Right.
And then what happened from there is, again, I had all of this. I got into the software, and then the internet stuff came along, and I started a website. And that was in 95, 96. So the first website I had, and I've mentioned this before, it's Virtual Selling, because I wrote Tom Siebel's book called Virtual Selling. He was the guy that started Siebel Systems that turned into Salesforce.com. He wrote a book in 1995 called VirtualSelling.com. When he was talking about emails and web pages and doing online selling, so I registered the domain, and that was the first domain that I bought was Virtual Selling. I still have it. If you look at the Whois record, I think it's the spring of '96 it was registered.
Wow.
So I did the first thing everyone else does. I had that who we are, what we do, products and services website at VirtualSelling.com. Never sold a thing. Was an absolute nightmare, and I just started going from, well, how am I going to sell something online when I don't really know how people are buying online? I know how people buy offline. So I started, sort of leaning towards how am I going to sell stuff online. That was in 96, but I never sold anything online till 2001.
5 years. Wow. Yeah,
that was my first real transaction. I had stuff where I met with someone, for example, and, we did a sales presentation, or they bought something and they may have sent me money with PayPal, for example. But I didn't have anything that I could sell to someone at that until 2001, really. And what not to say that I didn't try. But, man, I was crappy at it.
Wow.
Because a lot of baggage, right? You come from the offline world.
Oh yeah,
a lot of baggage, and it gets difficult. You're trying to figure out, well, I'm supposed to qualify them now, and ask them questions. So I need to talk to them.
Right.
And how do I handle
it? It's so interesting because it's just such a different world. Because in my office, it's quite well. There's a little bit of a sales. I mean, I love sales and marketing, but there's a way of phrasing things, like when people come in with a problem, and when you're meeting them on the street, the only qualification is if they have some kind of health problem or condition. You say, I might be able to help you with that. I don't really know.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of let them talk about it, and you say, well, why don't you come in and check it out? I always do the soft sell on that one.
Yeah.
With help, and it just works. You say, we've helped a lot of people with that. We might be able to help you, come in and, and then they come in, and then you do an exam, and then you say, okay, well, here's what's wrong with you. Here's what we would do to fix it. Are you interested in that? It's the same kind of thing.
It's identical. Doesn't matter if you're selling professional services for chiropractic or, massage or whatever, or you're selling a widget. But the interesting thing that you just mentioned, what kind of brings it back to the start of the conversation, is that you use that soft sell, but what makes the person decide that they're actually going to go with you? Because I'm betting there's probably 50 or 100 different chiropractors in your city.
You know what? See, that's where the personal thing comes in.
Ah, exactly.
The personal thing comes in because I'm looking them right in the eye, and I'm really honest, and I'm very sincere when I say, we might be able to help you with that. I'm not really sure, but I think we can. We've helped a lot of other people with the same kind of condition. Why don't you come in and let us see what we can do. I might be able to help you. And I think because in my mind, I'm going, I'm 99% sure that I can fix whatever they have.
Yeah.
But I never tell them that because I don't want to come across as arrogant. So I'll just say, we might be able to help you. Come in once and let me see what I can do. And it sounds reasonable. I try to do things that are reasonable, that I would perceive as reasonable. And then, because you figure everybody's going to give you at least one shot.
Yeah.
I just try to do things that psychologically make sense. Because if you propose something to someone that makes sense to them, then they'll usually try it out.
Yeah, they will, if they know and trust you.
But yeah, they what I would say is people get a feel of trusting me when I talk to them.
Exactly. Now, if you watch the face any of the selling courses that I've done, you'll see I do the stuff about 93% of the communication that you give to people is nonverbal in a face-to-face situation.
Ah, okay.
So the majority of your selling is done with the way that you feel and the voice qualities that you use.
Mm.
Not the words that you say. And that's the part that doesn't translate well on the internet unless you reveal your personality to the person that you want to buy from you so that they start so that they start to know and trust you. That's why, like Carol was talking about sales letters the last couple times.
Right.
And we're talking about sales letters. That's why stories in sales letters and in emails do so well. Because whenever you start telling a story, what you're doing is you're getting the other person emotionally involved in the situation. And you know, I did all that stuff with Bob Proctor, and I think you know Thruman Fleet and the Stick Person and the concept therapy movement and all of that stuff. I don't know if you know any of that stuff, Andrew, but the Stick Person, it's all in the sales courses. But emotion is energy in motion. It's the transference of vibration, energy and emotion that does the selling.
Right.
And you have to, you know, on a sales page, that's why video sales pages are starting to come up so much.
Right.
Or audio sales pages, because the way that you look, feel, move, the way that you carry yourself, the intonation, tonality, volumes, all of these things speak more than the fact that you've got a listing of 700 benefits on how everyone can be rich tomorrow.
Right.
So, you know, there is a lot of psychology in it, and that was the stuff that I started playing around with a long time ago. And you know what? I'll lay an egg here. The biggest problem for me with this is it's hard work to do all of that stuff online.
Well, it is, and what's interesting is recently Jay Abraham and Rich Sheffrin did their whole, you know, Maven marketing.
Yeah.
Thing. That was their whole thing, was become a Maven in their market, become a Maven in your market, you know, be the expert, be the trusted advisor, all that Jay Abraham stuff. But it was done through what you're saying is you got to be a personality. You have to have a persona. You have to have something they're going to identify with, not just plain words on the page.
Exactly. And that, you know what? Look at the Rich Jerk.
Who is that guy?
I don't know, but he
picked... I've heard him, but I don't know who he is.
Yeah, he did it. You know, he sold a $20 book, yada, 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 How to Get Rich. But he was a real arrogant SOB on the sales pages, on conference calls, everything. I'm rich. I don't care about you. Just buy the damn book. That's.
I guess that worked for him.
Well, yeah, that was his persona. Okay, and if you look at Dan Kennedy, he's the no BS selling guy. You look at Jay Abraham, same thing. He's got his persona. They've hung their hat on that shingle, right? They've positioned themselves. And you know, once you position yourself, you try and be consistent. And see, I always get a kick out of people who say, I want to do branding. And a brand is not something that you pick. It's something that you do by positioning yourself.
Right.
And a lot of people get branding and positioning confused. A brand happens over time because you've consistently positioned yourself in the mind of the prospect.
Right.
But if you position yourself in one way in one place and another way in another place, you'll never brand yourself.
Okay.
And I'll give... Like, I have another member that I talk to that does all the coffee stuff. Remember Cheryl?
Oh, yeah.
Now, Cheryl's still a member, but I talked to him, and he came up with a great idea, but I don't think he ever implemented it. He was the gourmet coffee snob.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if he ever did that, but that would have been an awesome one.
Exactly, because he sells gourmet coffees.
You know what? You know, if he really wants to make it big, part of the thing is that He's not that hungry, and that's okay wherever he is. But if he, hello?
Dog alert. it's not a pit bull attack.
That's okay. If Cheryl... Hello?
Someone's trying to mute there. We'll wait while the dog's taken care of.
Okay. That's funny.
There we go.
Okay. So, if Cheryl really wanted to do it up, what he ought to do, and another guy in the line, I'm not sure who that is, but if you're talking about wine, the place you must go is Wine Library TV.
Wine Library TV? That was just an example I used. It wasn't his particular market. It was just an example that I picked up.
Now, if you go to winelibrarytv.com, it's Gary Vaynerchuk. And this guy has gone from just owning a wine store in New Jersey to he's making millions of dollars through this daily video blog. It's actually quite amazing. He does one like every day.
Yeah.
And he's hysterical. He does it like 10, 15 minutes. He reviews wines. He's a young, energetic, hyperactive, ethnic guy. It's amazing. Now he has a wine cruise. He's been on TV. He's got, you know, stuff to sell. It's just crazy. Now he's worked his butt off.
566 posts he has today.
566 video wine reviews.
Yeah.
Okay. He's like a celebrity now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He's earned it, you know, but he's doing very well. If Cheryl even did one a week.
Yeah.
Here's your gourmet coffee video for the week.
That's right.
You know, anyway.
That's the exact same what's the word I'm looking for? That business model, that vlogging, video logging. He's doing 15 minutes of work a day.
Right.
Marketing.
Right.
But you know what? I bet you if you look at his episodes, he hasn't missed many weeks.
Oh, no. He's hardly missed any week.
Exactly.
And he said, I saw him at a seminar live, and he said, and people are like, and he's like, you know, he goes, I'm working my butt off.
Yeah.
Like, I'm stunned. He goes, you know, I'm a son of, like, Lithuanian immigrants or something. And he's like, when I go home, I'm going to check my 1,000 emails today, and I'm going to respond to every single one of them.
Yeah.
Because little Susie out in Oregon has got a date with her boyfriend, and she wants to know what wine she needs to have to serve with her chicken tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and I'm going to respond to her, and you know what? She's going to go on to my website, and she's going to buy wine, and if she likes it, she's going to buy a case of it. And she's going to tell all her friends, and they're going to come back and buy more wine.
Yeah.
So, it's just...
The other thing that's really neat about this is once he started doing that, there's a whole thing on public relations. I'm just looking. National TV appearances. Big idea. Conan O'Brien, twice. Ellen DeGeneres, twice. Mad Money with that Kramer guy.
Oh, yeah.
Nightline.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He's the man.
Yeah. But he hung his hat on one thing.
That's it.
So that's
right. What page did you click on? Oh, yeah, national TV appearances, right.
On the right-hand side there.
Yeah, no, I see. Yeah, it's great, you know, because he just said, this is my thing, and he just started doing it. He didn't even, you know what? He didn't even know anything about marketing. He's not even an internet marketer. He's like, I'm telling you guys. I mean, he's like, here he is at an internet marketing conference talking to, like, 500 people, and he was like, look, I'm just some little dude who had a wine shop in New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know? He didn't even know anything about marketing. He just started doing it. Yeah. So I'm like, if you just take... Just freaking have to do something.
The thing that's interesting, I'm looking at the video, and let me just... I'll be able to tell in a second. Yeah, he's got them professionally done now.
Yeah, but he wasn't that fancy in the beginning.
No, I was looking at the front, and I can tell by the ones that he's actually... Oh, those are Ustream ones he's got on TV. But it looks like he's just using, like, the $79 Sony Movie Studio kind of editor on it.
Yep.
So sweet. And there's another thing here. There's an example of someone who is using the internet to market or to sell something that's offline.
Yeah.
So it's an integrated marketing system, which is kind of nice to see.
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Do you have any other questions, Andrew? Do you have any questions?
Can you get me more hours in a day so I can get all the stuff that I need to do here? Let's see. I don't know if I actually did have any questions. I just need to watch the videos and get content up on my site, the bottom line.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Go to Sedona.com.
That's my goal, is to live in Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I think it's cold here. It's not happy here in New York, but you're in Calgary. Where you?
No, I'm in Ottawa. I'm just north of you. We got 7 inches of snow last night.
Away. Yep. Oh, I'm so sorry. You flakes.
No. We got 7 inches. 6 or 7
Holy
inches.
Holy crap. That's why we're looking at Arkansas right now.
Exactly. Okay, I'm on Sedona.
Sedona.com.
Yeah.
This is my new site to model over time.
Okay.
Because they're making millions of dollars, and they're doing live speaking. And I just wanted to show you this because obviously the above the fold is the big giant opt-in.
On the right-hand side, yeah.
You have about us, order, seminars, articles, how can it help me? Every single article, I cruised around the site, every single article is basically information on the first half and then why they need to buy this technique course,
yeah,
the second half, which is beautiful because this is what we're doing, teaching a technique. It's a similar audience.
Yeah, it's very nice. The other thing just to be aware of is that, and this is something just to consider, most of the people that are going to buy this already know about it.
Okay,
so let's say, for example, you've got, it's the difference between, like, there's an energy drink in here that the kids drink called Teen Fuel.
Okay.
And it's a sports drink for kids, right?
Right.
But there's also Gatorade, right?
Right.
If a kid goes to the store, which one are they inclined to ask for first?
Oh, they're going to ask for Gatorade.
That's right, because they already know it. Although Teen Fuel is there, people don't know it as well yet, because they don't ask for it. So I know about the Sedona method just because I've heard of it, but I have no idea what it is.
Right, and it's not exactly the same, but all I was saying was that I was excited to find a kind of a healthcare technique that's an information product that's kind of professionally done, and it's not the typical. See, my market is not a biz op market, and so the traditional biz op internet marketing stuff is a little bit different the way that I approach my market. Yeah. I was just excited to find a site that had lots of a little bit different spin on the marketing aspect.
Yeah, well, I think they're doing a great job, and it would be something definitely that you can model after.
Yeah, I don't want my site to necessarily look like that, very happy with my Joomla site, and I'm really excited about getting some content in it and getting some traffic going to it.
Yeah, I think that there's some. You know, the other thing that's kind of interesting here is their opt-in, get your free DVD, CD, and MP3 gifts. They've also got an opportunity to get a physical address.
Well, yeah, and plus they're going to charge you $6.99 or $5.99 for shipping and handling, so now you've got the credit card information on file.
Exactly. So that's kind of interesting to see what happens there.
Also, I do actually, so that being said, I do have a, how can I change, now again, I have to watch more videos and get more content up. How can I change where my sign-in thing, you know, for the free aspect of the membership site? How can I put some copy around that or make it look a little sexier? Do I need to put a different text side box in there or change the front page a little bit? Or
So the question is, we've got a module which is the login module. It's in the left-hand position of the template. And when you go, maybe we'll do a video on this one just to show how it happens. But one of the things that you can do is each module, like the login module, it has a place where you can adjust settings on it. One of them is called pretext, and the other one is called posttext. So what you can do is you can actually add some HTML code above the login boxes. That's the pretext, and you can add some text underneath the login button where it says create an account, which is the posttext. So that's one way of doing it, is to add a little pre and post text that can be email stuff. Like, you know, register for free and get a, you know, get a whatever, whatever, whatever with your free registration.
Right.
So you could do that. That's one way to do it. The other thing is that even the title of the module, right now it's set up that the module is showing its title, and the title is Member Login.
So but if somebody's ever been here before, that's not going to mean anything for them.
Yeah, so you could change the title of the module to Register for Free.
Okay.
So it doesn't say Member Longer, it says Free Registration. Okay? So that's another thing you can do. And then the other thing is I'd have to look on your template, but on, for example, do you know, like on My Small Biz U, on the in the right-hand side where it has the logins, but I have a red sort of banner and a green banner and a blue banner.
Yeah.
Those are actual CSS settings that came with the template that allow you to change the look of the module in the banner. Like I've got the red one is Quick Start. I've got a login here which is green.
Yep.
Those ones can actually be I'll look in the template and see if they have one.
Okay.
And then I'll do a little video on this one so that you see it. Is that okay?
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
And then, but yeah, you can change it up. And in terms of positions, whether it's up, down, higher, or lower on in the column, when you have multiple modules that are assigned to, in this case, the left-hand column, you have in the settings for each one, it has an opportunity to allow you to move it up or down compared
that.
To the other one. So if you wanted the login to be at the very, very top above the RSS feed buttons, you can move it up. If you want the RSS feed buttons down at the bottom, you could click on the down arrow for that module three or four times, and it would keep on going down lower.
Okay, great.
Okay?
Okay, cool. Yeah, because what I may do is not sure what I thought about moving, changing the copy around that. If I move that member login up and make it like an opt-in box, it'll be above the fold.
Yeah.
Then when the page loads.
That's right. And I think you could change I'll do a demo. I'll do a video of it, and I'll change it to free registration, or join free or something.
Okay.
Okay. And then you'll see where that is, and you can change it after.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay.
What time we got? 1:53. I got one more question. Anyone got a question?
James, I do.
Hi, Carol.
I got a weird email saying something about domain cancellation, which I assume is just another one.
Is it from Enom?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a phishing attack. I got them too.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Yeah, and you can tell because it's... I got them, a couple of them today, actually. Hang on, let me just see if I have one, because I'll show you how to double-check to see if it's real or not.
Okay.
If usually the way they send it, it looks like a message that is a message that looks like it's text only, but it's really a message that is an HTML message. And if you hold your mouse over top of the link that says, in this case it says www.enom. Enom is a domain registrar, if anyone doesn't know. But if you hold your mouse over top of the link on the page looks like http://www.enom.com. But if you hold your mouse over it, you actually see the real link, and the real link is www.enom.com.enom.w92.biz.
Oh.
So the actual site that you would be going to would be one called w92.biz.
Now, is that holding your cursor over it in the email?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, because in the email, all I get is just that hand when I hold it over the link in the email.
Yeah, but on mine, if I hold it over and keep it there, it has the hand, and then it has a little help box pops up on top of it. It says the actual link, and then click to open. And in Outlook, it does anyway. On mine.
See, I've got Outlook Express, and I guess it's
yeah,
not
probably,
up for that.
Yeah, probably. Outlook.
But okay.
Okay.
But, okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, that's a phishing attack because they want you to go and enter in all your domain details, and then they're going to steal your domain.
That's what I figured. First thing I did was go and make sure that my website was still there, and of course it was.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of them this morning.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you something else. One of the things that's interesting with this is when you register a domain, your email address gets added to the domain registrar as the admin contact and the billing contact, and sometimes the technical contact. And these are public records that make your email address available. So what happens is that they have software that goes out and it looks at these public Whois database. It's called whois.com.
Yeah.
They go and they scrape all of the email addresses off, and then they send emails to you. So what we do is when we register domains, like at mysmallbizdomains.com, or if you add a new hosting account, what happens is we use something called ID protection. And internally, you have your email address that's there, but when someone like these Whois ones go to look and see who owns the domain, it'll say privacy@privacyorg.com or something. So your emails are protected.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
I have a quick question that you probably will not answer on this call.
Okay.
It's kind of but I just want to throw it out there. I'm kind of being held hostage by my former webmaster website hosting people from a site that I put up back in 2006 on a WordPress blog.
Yeah.
They're using Plesk, they're using an old version of WordPress, and I got spam shit that's going in my old blog post that I can't see to the naked eye, but when you look at the HTML code, they're getting stuff that's getting stuck in there, and I only saw it because it came in through my Google Reader, and I'm like, what's all that crap in my blog post that I'm looking at my RSS feed? So basically, they don't want to change, they don't want to upgrade, they don't want to, you know, they want me to pay them to, like, hope, you know, take care of my blog and stuff. So I need to move that entire site.
What's the blog?
It's a blog.
Yeah, do you have the address?
Oh, it's consciousnessmusic.com.
Okay, yeah, I have that one. Do you have a Kismet on this one?
I think I do, and it's activated, but it's WordPress like 2.0.
Okay.
And I want to upgrade to like 2. Whatever, and also I want to put the latest version of Semiologic on there, and I can't do it with their system, and they're not even going to upgrade their WordPress thing. They just say, well, you know, for our managed clients, we do that. And I'm like, look.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about moving it to your stuff, but I don't know how. It's been up since February of 2006. So how would I? I don't even know where to begin to do that. You can answer that question.
Yeah, I'll answer it offline.
Okay.
Okay. What I'll do is I'll put a post in the forum.
Okay.
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 Yeah, I'm not entirely sure the best way to do that.
Other than just copying every post I have and moving them over.
Yeah, there's got to be an easier way. The one thing that I'm not sure of is the domain name consciousnessmusic.com. Did they register that?
No, I have it. I can forward it to your.
Yeah. Okay.
I can forward it to your thing. That's not a problem. Okay. It's just I've got a Google PageRank of 3 at this point, and you know, we have some people on that opt-in list.
Yeah, sure. You want to hang on to it. Sometimes what happens is an unscrupulous hosting company will not release your domain name. That's why I was asking.
Oh, it's not the hosting company. It's just the webmaster people where the blog is hosted. But okay. I have the domain at 101.
Okay, that's cool. I'll take a look at it.
All right. Okay, thanks.
Okay, it's 2:00. I did record this call, so I'll add it to the site. I make it open today too, and just send an email out so people can listen to it.
Dave?
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you quickly look at my site? Work on that sales copy.
What is it again? www.
www.whenwewergods.com.
Okay. Hey. Holy mackerel, look at that.
What is it, whenwewergods.com?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that getting better?
That's way better. Good for you.
Okay, fantastic. Now, take a look at Carol Chapman gifts.
Yeah, the only thing I would do is the Johnson boxes.
Oh.
The Johnson boxes that you've got, make sure they're the same width.
Okay.
Okay.
Think about that.
But those are...
Carol, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very okay. nice. Keep on working on it. And that Carol Chapman Gifts?
CarolChapmanGifts.com. That one I don't have up yet, but I really loved everything you talked about. I think it was you and Andrew, or just everyone you were talking about, why stories are important.
Yeah.
And I didn't put a whole bunch of stories in, but now I will.
Yeah. And you like to write, so you should be able to whip them up real quick.
Oh, yeah. I'm constantly... telling stories.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, good. Okay. You've made a lot of head on that.